Well, good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be here in your midst. And can we stand for prayer, and then I'll get into the message here. Father, thank you that you are our God. Father, thank you for caring for us, Lord. And Father, bless now as I share. Give me grace, Lord. Pray that I could share in such a way, Father, that your word is broken down and we all could understand. Thank you, Father. We love you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've been so inspired recently with 1 Corinthians 13. I felt like, just ask my fellow ministers if I could possibly share a message on this, and just very inspired in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 here. And I'll read the first few verses. I'll read to verse 8. 8a, and then we'll get into some of the message here. So it says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity, and that explains what charity is. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. So I have a little title for the message, A Continual Love Feast. That's the meaning of charity is love feast. It says another word is affection, but one of the meanings is love feast. Just simply having a feast of love among each other. That's what I see. So that's the title of the message. I have a little subtitle, Charity Never Fails. You know, these verses in chapter 13 are sandwiched between chapter 12, which is the gifts of the Spirit, and also chapter 14, which is, of course, Paul brings out more so the gift of tongues here. But very, very clearly we see that within the gifts, or within whatever we set our hands upon, whatever God has for us in his kingdom work, love needs to be predominant. I mean, love needs to be there. Charity needs to be very much a dynamic a characteristic in everything we do. And it says here that if we even had all faith that we could remove mountains, it would avail us nothing. We would allow our body to be burned for the sake of, you know, just maybe for the sake of thinking we're suffering for Christ or suffering for another. If we don't have charity, it avails us nothing. And even with feeding the poor and so forth. You know, charity is such an element of truth interwoven into everything we do. That's what I saw in this scripture. You know, everything we do, that there's charity there. There's love. And I just have, you know, as I went down through this scripture, I was just such a desire, you know, to represent Christ in our everyday lives, no matter what trials we face, no matter what relational difficulties, no matter what what we might face in a given day or in our families, in our church, in our marriages, that there's love in our responses, that we are showing forth Christ. You know, I had to think, we're called to be ambassadors, and an ambassador is a representative of a country, right? An ambassador who goes from the United States over to Europe or let's say to Germany, he's representing this country. And he represents everything, you know, that this country represents. And, you know, I just thought of us as fathers, as mothers, as Christian workers, as wives and husbands. You know, we're called to be ambassadors to each other in this whole realm of representing Christ to each other, that we're representing Christ. And a lot of that has to do with his love. So I'm not going to take time to elaborate on all this portion here going down through, but I'll elaborate a bit later on charity suffers long and is kind. But I'd like to go down to verse 7. It says, charity beareth all things. And that really spoke to me a while back, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on it as we go down through the message here. But the word beareth means to cover over with silence. To roof over. I mean, basically what I get is when, let's say there's a relational difficulty and we want to set the person straight, that we roof that thing over with silence. That's what we bear under that thing. And it's tough sometimes when the emotional heat of the moment is on to not react. And out from our mouth and heart come harsh words and hurtful words and cutting words. That's the meaning. The meaning is to roof over, to cover over with silence, to roof over. That really has spoken to me in relationships we have in our home. But I'd like to bring it down to our families, our marriages, our church. And I don't have a real long message. I know it's quite late here. But the word love, charity beareth all things. And on down it says, charity endureth all things. The word endures means to stay under, to remain, have fortitude, persevere. In other words, what I see there is simply that staying under the burden. Maybe you have a burden for one of your children, one of your young people. Or maybe you have a burden for a lost soul. Or you have a burden for a friend. You know that you stay under that thing. Love endures. It endures that the burden that God has laid on your heart. And it's difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's difficult keeping under that burden. Because it's a burden. It's a weight. It's something that's on our heart and mind. And I elaborate on the other two. It says, love hopeth all, charity hopeth all things and also believeth all things. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But one of the things that stands out to me too about charity, it never fails. Something that God is working in my spirit. You know, charity never fails. It never fails to do something good in the other person. Never fails to do something good in my heart. You know, may we learn to give forth charity, love. And that has various forms. I know that when, you know, it doesn't always feel like an affectionate love necessarily when we're going through a relational difficulty, but it can still be given, even without necessarily affectionate feelings, that you're giving forth charity. And that it never fails. That just struck me last week when I read this portion of Scripture. It never fails. Never fails to do something good in the other. Something good in my heart. So let's bring it down to our relationships with husband and wife. What about our relationship with our spouse? How is this working itself out? The word charity, like I said, means affection or benevolence. A love feast. And benevolence basically means, you know, you have the best interest of the other in mind. No matter what the circumstance, you have the best interest of the other in mind. There's no ill will there. You're not out to get the person. You're not out to, you're not out to demean him or put him down. That's charity. You have the best interest of the person in mind. And again, that word love feast, like I mentioned earlier, is a meaning given in the Strong's. So how are we doing as couples? You know, husbands, are you can I say, charitying your wives? You know, is there charity there? You know, when you run into situations that are times in the, you know, the relating with each other, maybe in the busyness of the day, and sometimes we get under stress. What is our response during those times? Do you as husbands charity your wives, and do you as wives charity your husbands? You know, it's so easy to get, God is working. It's working deeply in my heart in this area. Yeah. I had a recent incident where that happened in our home. I was kind of loaded down with just with the cares of the ministry and cares of life and just the burden of it all. And my wife and I, we sat down together at the couch, on the couch at the end of the day. And she began just to share her heart. And I felt like it was kind of coming forth in a complaining way. And I was kind of burdened down already. And I just kind of shut her out, just kind of shut down. And, you know, that was a hurt in her heart. And, but I felt like, you know, I was justified in that. I just felt like, you know, she needs to realize I have a lot on my mind, a lot of my heart, and she needs to realize this, that there's, you know, life has its pressures for me also. And I, you know, come on, Barb, it's just too much. I just couldn't handle what you had to share at that given time. Well, the next morning, one thing that Barb and I have, we don't let things fester long, and I can't, you know, we made things right that evening already, but I still in my heart, I couldn't quite think through this thing, that I wasn't right in how I viewed the thing. And the next morning, I went before the Lord, and God just spoke to me. And one of the things in our home that, I live with, eight women. And so sometimes I let them know my manpower and my manly muscles and kind of flex myself a little bit to let them know I'm the man. I'm the man of the house here. And, the Lord spoke to me that morning and said, "Mel, you're a man, aren't you? You should be able to handle that." That's all I needed. I realized I had, God wanted me to carry that burden. I mean, to recognize His grace is sufficient. And I asked forgiveness of my wife in a deeper way that morning, and it was settled in her heart. She was blessed. We went on our way in a blessed way. So God is teaching me, this whole area of charity. Maybe wives, for you, maybe there's a tendency to criticalness or maybe even in submission sometimes when the day is tough and, the children are, you feel like your husband is making some bad decisions or wrong decisions, and you just have that tendency to criticize or to even get out from under authority and do your own thing. And so maybe that's, I'm not sure what all you wives face, but I know what I think us men face. But we're called to charity. We're called to charity. You know, the Bible says in Colossians, it says, "Above all things, put on charity." Above all things. So we're called to charity. And brother, sister, I like what it says there in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity beareth not just one thing, all things. That's what struck me as well. Charity beareth all things. It endures all things. Believeth all things, hopeth all things. Not just a few. So brother, sister, we should be able by the grace of God to bear up under and give forth charity. Because we're able to bear. We're called to bear. Called to endure. And that's all part of charity. But it says it bears and endures all things, not just a few. Now let's go to our, let me say this. Let us as couples have a love feast together through this kind of love we see in 1 Corinthians 13. We can have a love feast, brother, sister, you as married couples, us as married couples, through having charity one with another. It's called love feast, charity. Parents, okay, let's get to number two. Parents with your sons and daughters. During the time of we went on a week's vacation last week, and we were up in Selins Grove area, and during that time, it was the best vacation I've had in my entire life, I think. I mean, we just, through various circumstances, we just kind of hung out at a cabin there, and we went out and about for, some, but anyway, we just had such a relaxing time, playing games, enjoying each other's, just chatting, and reading books, and just, it was just a glorious time. And, but one of the, I read the book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, not the whole way through, but I read, quite a bit of it. And I was just impressed, about this word ambassador that, I'm not sure if he spoke it, but I was reading two books there, but about being ambassadors of Christ to your children, to your young people. Again, representing Christ to that young person. And I know with children and teenagers, and it's not always easy to represent Christ. When you have one with a strong will, is there anger, impatience, hurt, frustration? Instead of representing the heart of Christ. God is love. The Bible says God is love. And a wedge begins to be, a wedge begins to form between the two of you. Or do you, through your forbearing love and hopeful spirit and staying under the burden, bring such a one along? I think by and large, that's what has, that's what brings such a one along. In other words, as we forbear, we cover over with silence in the heat of the moment when we want to lash out and have harsh words. We stay under the burden. We remain hopeful. Here it says, love, charity hopeth all things. We remain hopeful for that person. Even though you're dealing with some tough issues, there's a hope emanating from you towards that young person, towards that child, and they sense that. They sense that you're hopeful for him, that you believe in him, despite the quirks and things you're working through with the will of that child or young person. I'll share this. Years ago, I was, this was before we had Aquila Villa as a ministry, and we, some of you know, we have had girls in our home before Aquila Villa, and young people, sometimes young men as well. But I remember a young girl who stayed in our home, and I felt wronged by her. And everything in me wanted to set that girl straight. And thankfully, I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, you know what's in me. You know what my emotions would want to do at this hour? Lord, give me wisdom. And I honestly didn't know at that time if that wasn't the way to work with her. It was just set her straight. And that's the moment God took me to this scripture where love bears all things. God told me, cover her with silence. And he also took me to love endures all things. Stay under the burden, Mel. In short order, that whole thing was resolved. Didn't take long. It was resolved. Again, charity never fails. You know, it didn't fail in that hour. It didn't fail. I think the other way would have failed had I gone. So glad God, I'm so blessed that God got a hold of my heart before I did that. You know, my natural inclination, I'm sure if I would have given forth that at the moment, it would have failed. But charity didn't fail, brought that young girl around. And the situation was resolved in a beautiful way. James chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And I think that's simply the heart of God is bringing out, we are first fruits of his creatures. I mean, we, if anyone, should be emanating love, the character of Christ, into those around us, our families, our homes, our churches. Then it says, "Wherefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And I think sometimes, you know, we as fathers, especially probably as fathers, we get into the mode of, you know, well, I'm just being firm. I'm just, you know, I'm just being, and I'm not, and please don't misunderstand me this morning. I believe in addressing issues. I don't believe in sweeping issues under the carpet. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. So I believe in addressing issues, but do we do it in love? And here it brings out clearly, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And it says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So, brother and sister, if you have a harsh, angry, frustrated spirit with your children, your young people, don't expect that to work the righteousness of God in their lives. Very clear here. Very clear. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And, you know, I think that's in the context, again, of our tongue, which the next chapter, 3 of James, I mean chapter, oh, no, it's not the next chapter yet, but a few chapters later. But anyway, you know, James is leading up to the tongue, which he brings out in verse 26. Just simply, you know, how the tongue can hurt and devastate. But anyway, verse 22, when it says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only," I think it's just simply bringing out, you know, yes, you can talk about truth. But if there's not a doing, a working out in your spirit, representing the love of Christ, representing Christ to your young people and to your children, and a lot of that has to do with love, charity. God has given us the privilege, the ability, and the giftings to parent our children. Handle these privileges and giftings carefully. And again, chapter 13 is sandwiched in between all the gifts of the Spirit, chapter 12, and the gift of tongues in chapter 14. Let me turn back to 1 Corinthians 13. Simply asking forgiveness. We do fail sometimes as fathers and mothers. I realize that. I do at least. And I have to ask forgiveness right in the home where I live. Forgiveness goes a long way. Apology goes a long way, brother and sister. A long way. I believe a little child can understand. "I'm sorry. Forgive me." It goes a long way. So are you having a love feast as a family? If not, maybe it's time for us to look at our own hearts this morning. You know, is there strife in your home, contention? Fathers and mothers, take a look at your own hearts. If there's contention with you and your young people and your children, let's take a look at our hearts. Is the kind of charity that 1 Corinthians 13 being given out, emanating from your spirit as a parent? I'd like to just speak to the young people a little bit, children and young people. It says, charity believeth all things. Young people, I just like to speak to you a little bit. Do you believe in your parents? You know, that word believeth all things, in one translation it says, love trusts all things. Do you trust your parents? And I'm not saying there's situations here and there that, you know, abusive situations where a parent can't be trusted. I'm not talking about that this morning. But if there's no evidence that someone can't be trusted, that person needs to be trusted. And young people, I'm talking about your parents here. Do you trust your parents' judgment? Do you trust their counsel, their advice, their direction? It says here, charity believeth all things. It believes in your parents. Sure, they make mistakes. They're not perfect. But that's charity. Charity believing all things. Believing your parents. Believing their counsel, their advice. And even if they're, you know, even if they've had a major, some of your parents may have had major failures in their life. And I know maybe there was a time you couldn't trust them. I mean, there was a legitimate reason. But when your parents ask for forgiveness, begin allowing your heart to go back, I mean, out in trust to them again. And it might take some time. You know, there's two ways. Winning back the heart of a daughter or a son who you failed as a parent, there needs to be that drawing, that wooing, that winning them back. But young person, you have a responsibility too of giving your heart. Doesn't just all fall on the parent. When they've failed, there needs to be a giving back of your heart to that parent when they've asked forgiveness and failed. Okay, the last one here is, what about us as a church? Do we have charity in our midst? You know, we're called Charity Christian Fellowship. And I would just like to lift that name up in our midst. I mean, that trait, if you will, of charity. Let's be a church that people come into and can say they're having a love feast. They're simply having a love feast. So we call ourselves Charity Christian Fellowship. And, you know, let's take a look at our own hearts, our own congregation, my heart. I'm part of this body, and so are you. Can we take a look at ourselves and say, do I emanate love? Do I emanate charity to my brother, to my sister, to others who come into our midst outside of our own congregation? 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That unfeigned love of the brethren is simply, that word is Philadelphia, which we know means brotherly love. And so it says here, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, then that second love is the word charity. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So God calls us as a brotherhood in our brotherly love to emanate charity, to be giving forth charity, love, one to another. Charity suffers long. Does your love suffer long? Does my love suffer long? With a brother, maybe someone you're mentoring, or maybe somebody who's just kind of, you know, had some behavior that's kind of obnoxious or, you know, does your love, charity suffers long. That's what it says. Charity suffers long. And it's kind. You know, I think of kindness as something that no matter who the person is, no matter what wrong they've done, no matter what wrong they've done against me, does my heart emanate kindness? Does my spirit, you know, give forth kindness in words, in gestures, in whatever means you give it forth? You know, does kindness come forth from your heart, or is there a kind of a holding that person at arm's length? It says that charity is kind. So let's remember to, you know, when those around us have a little bit of a thing, quirks about themselves that are a little distasteful. I have kind of one in my home that a little distasteful. I tend to kind of chew in my pen to where just kind of put my, well, not necessarily chew on it, but just kind of bring it out, in and out, and I wear out my shirt pockets because of my, and sometimes the girls make mention, Mel, there's your pen again. Coming out, and it's just kind of, you know, I'm glad they suffer long with me in the home. But anyway, there is, you know, there's quirks about ourselves that are distasteful sometimes to those around us, and it takes maybe time for that habit to go out the door. And, you know, let's give kindness. I know that in our quirks and those things that are maybe distasteful to others, that we appreciate grace and graciousness. Let's also give it forth to others. Likewise. Again, charity beareth all things within the scope of the body. Charity beareth all things. It covers over with silence when there's relationship difficulties. It doesn't lash out and speak harsh and cutting words. It endures all things. It stays under the burden. And you know, I found one secret is just simply our relationship with the Lord. You know, if I face a relationship difficulty and take it to the Lord in prayer, He just simply speaks peace to my spirit. Sometimes it's hard to bear up under something, some of these kind of things, but I found it's a tremendous just bringing it before the Lord, and there's peace. He speaks peace to me. He says, "Mel, it's going to be all right." So again, it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Brothers and sisters, this kind of love will never fail to do a good thing in the heart of the other you're relating to, or and in your own heart as well. So let's have a love feast together as a congregation, brother and sister. So in closing, 1 Corinthians 13, I'd like to go down through the remaining verses. It says, charity never faileth in verse 8, and it says, but whether there be prophecies, look at that. You know, it's mentioning the gifts now, the gifts. They fail sometimes. It says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You know, sometime we'll have all understanding and knowledge, but in this life we don't. And when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And I was just so blessed with that thought. You know, our gifts may fail. The gifts that we have sometimes, you know, it's even gifts of the Spirit. You know, sometimes we might not use them accurately, or maybe we think we have a gift that we don't, or I don't know if I can explain all the situation, but it says prophecies fail, tongues cease, and so forth, but charity never fails. Never fails. It never fails to do a good thing in the heart of the other. Something good. 14 verse 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. It says desire spiritual gifts, but it says follow after charity. It's not that we shouldn't desire spiritual gifts, but Paul gives a thought that they're not necessarily to be followed after and pursued and feeling like I have to have this gift and that gift or the other. But charity is something that needs to be, he says, follow after charity. Follow after it. Pursue it. Brother, sister, charity never fails, and may we have a continual love feast in our lives as we exercise it, in our marriages, in our homes, in our congregation. God bless.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Mel. A lot of truth for us to consider in our lives as we go into this coming week. I'm going to open it up. Does anyone have something you want to say as far as a testimony or just a word? As we come to a close here, just raise your hand if you do and get a microphone to you. Is there anyone? Just thinking about as Mel, as you were just teaching there, preaching, you and I were created to love well. We were created to love well. And of course, that love flows out of us as Christ's love flows into us. Absolutely. Anyone else have anyone have anything before we move into announcements then? If not, let's just stand here for a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for these words in your scripture, Lord, and the word of life that has come to us this morning. All of us here have relationships. God, you've blessed us with relationships. There's challenges in our relationships. Possibly, Lord, everyone here can think of a particular challenge in a relationship that they have right now. Something that just feels so difficult. Maybe it's a relationship where they feel run over or misunderstood or blocked out or not cared about. I don't know what it all is, Lord. You see these things in our lives today, and we personally know what they are. And I ask you, Father, that you would minister into those places. And remind us, oh, Father, that as Mel mentioned to us, that in your presence is where we are changed. And so, God, as we go into this coming week, would you lead us, O Lord, into the secret place that we can bring our challenges and our mountains, our valleys to you, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you have promised, O Lord, to meet us in those secret places and secret prayer and worship to you. And, Lord, your promise is that you will reward us openly. Thank you, God, for the open rewards. And Mel reminded us of, in his personal life, some of the open rewards. And so, God, in the challenges that we face in our relationships, Lord, that you would just draw us, oh God, into the secret place so that transformation can take place in our own hearts. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, also, we were reminded this morning of the name that's out on the church sign. Lord, you know that many times we have failed and have not walked in the reality of that name. God, we ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us as a body of believers here in the times, O Lord, that we have not walked in charity, we have not walked in love. We have not spoke in love. And I ask you, Lord, to just do a deep thing in our hearts as a congregation. And Lord, we desire, Lord, that you would transform us in those areas, oh Lord, where we have incredible need to love, to know how to love, to know what love looks like. Lord, would you teach us, oh Lord, in these days to know how to speak the truth in love. Between us, ourselves, to our children, to our spouses, to our brothers and sisters all around us, oh Lord. When we see needs, when we see issues, when we have struggles, Lord, that we would speak the truth, yes, but in love, saturated with love. So thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.